It was the 28th of July. The sun had just set. The evening sermon in St. Columb's Cathedral was over and the heartbroken congregation had separated. When the sentinels on the tower saw the sails of three vessels coming up the foil, the Mountjoy took the lead and went right at the boom. I want us to think tonight, first of all, about the boom itself, because you're maybe asking the question tonight, what is the boom? What exactly was the boom? Or at least that's the question that I have been asking myself, because I'm just a blow-in. I'm not from this part of the world, you know me. By now I'm a Tyrone man, I've been here 11 years, but lately I've been interested in the siege and the boom and the breaking of the boom. And so I was asking myself the question, what exactly was the boom? Well, if you're asking that question tonight, let me try to explain. Now, there's people like Pamela Hepburn down there and other people who could give a much better explanation about the boom and the siege than I could ever do. But let me try. The boom was a barrier, basically a barrier that was placed across the River Foyle at Boom Hall. If you know where Boom Hall is, it's the derelict building near the Foyle Bridge. It was placed there on the 3rd of June, 1689. So there you have this floating barricade, which was made of timber, clamped with iron chains, stretching from one side of the River Foyle to the other. A great barrier, a great barricade to cut off the city from those who would come to relieve it. Of course, folks, I don't want tonight just to be a history lesson. We've got to get to the gospel. We've got to get to what the Word of God says. And the Word of God makes it clear tonight that there is a boom in each one of our lives. Notice it there, Hebrews 2:17, the very end of the verse, the sins of the people. Sin is the boom that separates man from his maker. I mean, you just read Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Isaiah was speaking about a boom, a spiritual boom. Across the river of our lives that separates us from the Lord who made us, the Lord who cares for us, and the Lord who wants to have a personal relationship with us. There's a boom. It's called sin. But folks, the reality is today that sin is a word that's bandied about in evangelical circles. And I believe that a lot of people out there in the world don't have the first clue what that word sin means. I mean, there's some people, if you ask them today what sin, they'd say it has something to do with Weight Watchers or Slimming World or something. Sins. You're only allowed so many sins every day, so many calories. We need to explain to people what sin is. Pray for us as we seek to explain to the children this week what sin is. Why in the world would they want to be saved from sin if they didn't understand what sin was in the first place? What would be the point in Simon or myself standing up in front of the children this week and telling them of Jesus? We're teaching the wordless book this week, and what would be the point of talking to the children about the red page, the blood of the Lord Jesus and the cross, if they didn't understand why he died there? It's because of sin. It's because of the boom, the spiritual boom in every life. Well, what is sin? Well, 1 John chapter 3 gives us a definition. Sin is the transgression of the law. Whose law? What law? The law of God. God's law. The Ten Commandments. So important, you know, folks, to learn the Ten Commandments. So important to teach the children the Ten Commandments. Oh, we don't do it so that they can think to themselves, oh, well, I'll try really hard and I'll grit my teeth and maybe keep these commandments, and then God will say to me someday, oh, you've lived a good life, come on into heaven. That's not why we teach it. No, we teach the Ten Commandments, the law of God, so that the children and, in fact, everyone will realize they've broken God's law. They fall short. Therefore, they need a Savior. Of course, the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 2 summed up the law. What a summary of God's law he gave us. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The Lord Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments in two commandments. He made it really simple. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. And people say, oh, no problem, I've kept those two commandments. I'm afraid none of us have. None of us love the Lord with all our heart. I mean, that's why people today go for other things to satisfy them. The Lord, he is the fountain of living waters. He satisfies the soul. But people turn away from the Lord. They go to other things. Just for example, let's mention drugs tonight. I mean, the drugs problem in our United Kingdom is horrendous. Even in Little Ulster, the drugs problem is spiraling out of control. I heard just there recently of one of the bonfires in Belfast. And there were young people at the bonfire sitting around openly injecting themselves with drugs. How sad. You know, folks, we can get so sort of cocooned in our church services that we don't realize these things are happening. And young people are trying drugs to satisfy when really the Lord Jesus is the only one who will satisfy. He's the one who can give them living water. Oh, that they would drink from the wells of salvation. Oh, that you would drink tonight from the wells of salvation. Because though you might not be injecting yourself with cocaine or heroin or whatever it is, you're going to other things to satisfy. We haven't kept the second commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The reality is, folks, that every one of us love ourselves more than our neighbour. In our heart of hearts, we are more interested in our own welfare than in our neighbour's welfare. The only person who loved his neighbour more than himself was our lovely Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Of course, he taught that in the parable of the Good Samaritan, and how the Good Samaritan cared for the injured man and brought him to the inn and paid for his care. What a wonderful picture of Jesus and what he has done for us. Yes, the boom of sin is across each of our lives. And we have built it. Oh, back in 1689, it was the Jacobite forces of King James II who built the boom across the river. But in our lives, we have built the boom. We are to blame. Our sins have built the boom that separates us from the Lord. So that's the boom. But what about the breaking of the boom? We come to the good part now. We come to the good news. It was the 28th of July. The sun had just set. The evening sermon in St. Columb's Cathedral was over, and the heartbroken congregation had separated. When the sentinels on the tower saw the sails of three vessels coming up the foil, the Mountjoy took the lead and went right at the boom. The huge barricade cracked and gave way, but the shock was such that the Mountjoy rebounded and stuck in the mud. You've all sung the hymns of Mrs. Alexander. Great hymns like "There is a green hill far away," "All things bright and beautiful," "Once in Royal David's city," "Jesus calls us o'er the tumult." But I wonder, did you know that Mrs. Alexander wrote two great poems as well? She wrote a poem about the burial of Moses. I read a wee bit of it last night. It's very, very interesting. You know how in Deuteronomy chapter 34 it tells there about how the Lord buried Moses. It's a wonderful study. How the Lord cared for his servant. Yes, he had failed. He had struck the rock. It let the Lord down. But folks, who hasn't let the Lord down? Yet the Lord dealt with Moses in mercy. May he deal with us in mercy too. But she wrote the poem about the burial of Moses, but she wrote a great poem about the siege of Derry. Let me quote some lines from the poem. "Where the river joins the brine, canst thou see the ships in line, and the plenty of our craving just beyond the cruel boom? Through the dark mist of the firing, canst thou see the masts aspiring? Dost thou think of one who loves thee on that ship amidst the gloom? There's death in every hand that holds a lighted brand, but the gallant little Mountjoy comes bravely to the front. Now, God of battles, hear us. Let that good ship draw near us. Ah, the brands are at the touch holes. Will she bear the cannon's brunt? She makes a forward dash. Hark, hark, the thunder crash. Oh, father, they have caught her. She is lying on the shore." Very poetic and a very wonderful description by Mrs. Alexander of the Mountjoy striking the boom and then lying on the west bank. But I want to tell you tonight about one who came to break the boom of sin in our lives. And his name is Jesus. And John chapter 19 verse 30 tells us, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Do you know, whenever the Mountjoy struck the west bank of the river, the Jacobite forces cheered and celebrated with joy. They thought that it was the end of the Mountjoy. They thought that the attempt to break the boom and to relieve the city had failed. The enemy rejoiced. You know, folks, whenever the Lord Jesus died on Calvary, the enemy rejoiced. All hell cheered. "He's finished," Satan and the demons thought. But 3 days later, you know what happened. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Praise God, he tore the bars away. Now back to Psalm 107. Did you notice one of the verses that we read earlier? Psalm 107, and it's verse 16 that struck me just as I read it. It hadn't struck me earlier today, but it struck me just as I read it. Verse 16, "For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder." Cut the bars of iron. Did we not tell you a wee minute ago that the boom was made from iron? When the Mountjoy struck the boom, it broke the iron. I want to tell you, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ struck the boom of sin at Calvary, he broke the iron. He broke the iron bars. Whenever he rose from the dead, he tore the bars of iron away, the spiritual iron. He tore them away and rose from the dead. And just a few days previously, all hell was celebrating. They were having a party in hell. But when Jesus rose, that was the end of the party. Mrs. Alexander, in her poem, describes the recovery of the Mount Joy. Another crash like thunder. Will it tear her ribs asunder? No, no, the shot has freed her. She is floating on once more. She pushes her white seal through the bullet's leaden heel. Now blessings on her captain and on her seamen bold. Crash, crash, the boom is broken. Lord Macaulay continues his description of the breaking of the boom. Just then the phoenix dashed at the breach which the Mountjoy had made and was in a moment within the fence. In the meantime, the tide was rising fast. The Mountjoy began to move and soon passed safely through the broken stakes and floating bars. But her brave captain was no more. A shot from one of the battery had struck him, and he died in sight of the city, which was his birthplace, which was his home, and which had just been saved by his courage and self-devotion from the most frightful form of destruction. Thomas Ashe, in his account, he describes the death of Captain Browning. He was standing on the deck with sword in hand, giving his orders and encouraging his men, when at the moment the boom was broken, he was struck by a gunshot on the head. He died the death of a true soldier in the arms of victory, leaving behind him a name that well deserves to be forever remembered in the city that he saved. It was 10 o'clock before the ships arrived at the quay. The whole population was there to welcome them. A screen made of casks filled with earth was hastily thrown up to protect the landing place from the batteries on the other side of the river, and then the work of unloading began. First, we rolled on shore barrels containing 6,000 bushels of meal. Then came great cheeses, casks of beef, flitches of bacon, kegs of butter. It is easy to imagine with what tears grace was said over supper that Sabbath evening. Folks, as we finish tonight, we have read in God's word about the captain of our salvation. And it tells us in verse 9 of Hebrews that he tasted death for every man. It tells us in verse 14 that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And in verse 17 it tells us that through his death he made reconciliation. You know, tonight you can be reconciled to your Maker because of the death of the great captain of salvation. And just as Captain Browning gave his life for the people of the city all those years ago, so our Lord Jesus Christ has given his life for the people of this city, for the souls of this city and the souls of every other city. And you can be reconciled to God through his death tonight because he tasted death for every man, and that includes you. Nobody's excluded. And so tonight on this special anniversary, it is right and proper for us to remember those who suffered and perished during the siege. What was it? 4,000 of the citizens died. Half the population of the city died during those 105 days. It is right and proper that we remember brave, courageous men like Captain Browning. But oh, tonight let's remember the greatest captain of all. He's alive. Maybe you caught the verse on the screen before the service started, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David, who was raised from the dead. You see, tonight Captain Browning's remains lie in Mother Earth, but you'll not find the remains of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of salvation, because he's alive. Do you know him? I leave the last word tonight to Mrs. Alexander. Sing ye praises through the land, the Lord with his right hand. With his mighty arm hath gotten himself the victory now. He hath scattered their forces, both the riders and their horses. There is none that fighteth for us, O God, but only thou.